Hello and welcome back to the Azeem Digital Asks all-round digital marketing podcast. Today we're talking all about the importance of culture in marketing with Gemma Houghton, absolute incredible human being. She's laughing because she knows it's right. As always, before I start, the usual gabble, please like, rate, share and subscribe. You can get this podcast in video form on YouTube and on Spotify video. And I mentioned it on the last recording, I'll mention it now, I will shout it from the rooftops. This podcast is rated in the top 10 for UK digital marketing podcasts, in the top 20 overall. That's not possible without incredible guests like Gemma, brilliant listeners, and basically everyone involved other than myself in making this happen. So thank you, I appreciate it. Much love. Right, anyway, let's move on. Gemma, welcome to the show.
Hello, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm very, very pleased to have you, even more so because of last week, which I will more than happily shut up and allow you to sound off about. So what happened last week, Gemma?
Yeah, so last week we held our International Search Summit Barcelona event. So this is WebCertain's conference that we've been running for 14 years in total, so a really long time, but we've really kind of grown it in the last couple of years. And if anybody doesn't know WebCertain, which I'm sure some people will not, we're a digital marketing agency specializing specifically in international. And we started running the conference because there was not that much content at other conferences about the specific topics related to doing international marketing and international digital. And yeah, last week was our biggest ever event. So we had three tracks, we had 30 speakers. Plus speakers, I think, include our panelists and attendees from over 35 countries. So it was a true international event in every sense of the word. And yeah, it was fantastic. And of course, you were one of our wonderful speakers.
Amazing. And anything else happened last week that you want to share?
I mean, there was. We have a bit of a tradition at the International Search Summit where we award the speaker that's voted on the day by the attendees as their favourite speaker, our medallion award, which is a genuinely lovely actual medallion that goes around the neck. And, well, somebody won it last week. Who could it have been? Oh, yeah, it was you.
Yay. I just wanted you to mention it because I've said it loads. No, I appreciate it. And if you were there and voted for me, thank you very much. And again, that's not possible without a great event. So huge thank you to yourself, Kirsty, and the rest of the team for making that happen. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Great.
And hopefully I'll be back next year to defend my crown. But yeah, now let's get onto the meat and bones of the episode, where we're talking about the importance of culture in marketing. So I think the best way to sort of start this off would be to talk about how would you define culture, Gemma?
So I think there are lots of kind of official definitions that ultimately boil down to the same thing, and I think culture is a set of shared beliefs, values, behaviours, norms, preferences, whatever you want to say, that a group of people have. And that can be as big as a whole country and a group of people, you know, who born and live in a country. It can be as small as a family or, you know, a group of friends. It can be, of course, a workplace. It can be an event. It can basically be anything where people have something that brings them together and that they have in common, and that represents who they are ultimately.
Perfect. So why is this important then?
Because our culture, whatever that might be, and we can be part of different cultures, obviously we can be part of our national culture and also of, you know, maybe a religious culture, maybe a work culture, so you know, you can have a hobby culture, I don't know, you can be part of many, but all of those things make who you are as a person, and some of them are very obvious, you're very aware of them, they're kind of choices. In some cases they're kind of things you don't even really think about, they're things that are innate to you that you're born with. But all of that really impacts how you view things, how you behave, what matters to you, how you'll perform certain tasks. So it really boils down to who you are as a person, and then therefore any communication that is happening with you, whether that's, you know, on a personal level, whether it's from a company in a marketing sense, needs to be aware of that, needs to kind of take into account your culture in order for you to really engage with it, to understand it, to relate to it.
Perfect. So obviously this is a marketing podcast, so I have to ask, where do you think that culture fits into marketing strategy and execution?
So I think it needs to fit into it all the way through. You know, it's a fundamental part of it, because, you know, like I said, it is about who people are, and as marketers we are, you know, generally targeting people, and we're trying to talk to those people. So I think, you know, that the fundamental of marketing is understand your audience. You know, all the other stuff that we talk about in marketing kind of is slightly irrelevant if you do not understand who it is that you are trying to reach, what it is that they need, what their challenges are, what their problems are, what their preferences are, etc. And that really comes down to it with culture. So while you're understanding, you know, what a person needs in terms of, you know, practical, do they need your product and why, you also need to understand who they are. You know, what makes them tick, what drives them, what would upset them, what will really engage them, because that is what is going to help you really make a connection and potentially, you know, build, sell your product or service in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was incredible. It makes a huge amount of sense, certainly around the topic of marketing strategy and execution. But what are the risks of not taking that into account?
I think, you know, the risks are ultimately failure of your campaign, strategy, you know, launch into a new market, whatever that might be. So if you don't take that into account, you know, you could be creating a really, you know, in some cases, very expensive, very expansive campaign where you're targeting this group, you're creating loads of creative, loads of messaging. But if that is not going to kind of make sense to the people that you're actually trying to reach it with, then that's not going to work. The same can even be said about your kind of product or the service that you offer. If that doesn't meet the needs of that group, if that falls short of actually meeting the needs of their culture, and that can be something they really know about or not, then it's probably going to fall flat. And then you walk away thinking, actually, this, you know, I don't know, we've tried to launch this product in Spain and it just, nobody was interested, it didn't work, and therefore it's not, you know, we shouldn't even be targeting Spain, they don't want it. Might not be true. It might just be that the way that you've presented it, or the features that you've highlighted even from it, are not what are relevant to that market. So that, you know, there's a huge risk. There's also the risk that you really get it wrong and massively offend by, you know, not taking into account something that's really important, where you use messaging, you use imagery, you use something that actually is quite offensive or upsetting to that culture, which can obviously have negative brand connotations. But that is probably less likely, that's not going to happen with most products and services because you're not running really controversial campaigns. But it's just things to be aware of that, you know, could make or break whether you actually succeed or not, and whether you see the ROI that you're looking for on a campaign.
Yeah, absolutely, that's really useful, and I can almost, not 100%, almost guarantee that there will be people listening to this that hadn't have considered most of the points that you have said there. So I think it leads me on nicely to my next question. So when you're executing a campaign, how would you make sure that culture isn't forgotten?
I think it is really important to have somebody who was part of that culture, if you can, to be part of the process. So if it is an international campaign, then having somebody who is native to the markets that you're targeting is going to be really important. Whether that's, you know, whether they're working on it, or whether they just, you know, you use them as a kind of sounding board and you get, you know, you send content to them for review. There's different ways you can do it, but you want to make sure that somebody who actually knows it, because you can do a lot of research. You can find, there's some great things like Hofstadter's Cultural Dimensions and other kind of frameworks that you can use to help you understand culture. You can obviously, you know, lots of people write about it, talk about it, but you can't fully get it until, you know, you are part of it. There might be little nuances that you just can't pick up on. So I think it's quite important to do that. And the same can be true if you're just targeting in one market. So, you know, are you targeting an older generation, for example, who might have different mindset to certain things than younger people, and vice versa? So are you, you know, if you're targeting 18-year-olds and everybody working on the campaign is 50+, you're just maybe going to miss certain references. You may be going to not make, you know, things aren't going to hit the mark. You might be talking about things that don't make any sense to them, purely because you're not part of that, you know, it makes sense to you and you don't think about the fact it's not really relevant. So I think that is really important. And then just, you know, making sure, as you should be throughout, you know, a campaign anyway, is is the audience, is that target at the core of what you're doing? Looking back on it, if you've got personas that you've created, making sure that, you know, everything you do, does that work for this persona? Have we missed something? Are we, you know, are we capturing what it is that matters to them? And then reviewing as well, you know, once you've done a campaign, maybe if it hasn't maybe performed how you'd expect, look at, you know, when you are thinking about it, make sure you analyze that element of it. Is some of the messaging not being quite right? Have we missed something? Have we kind of, yeah, you know, it, again, it can be things like, you know, talking about popular culture, you know, TV references, song references, I don't know, things to do with what foods you eat, all of those things, you know, if you, they don't necessarily translate between markets because they're different in every market. And if you kind of use that concept that you've used and you don't actually change it to be relevant to that market, then it's all going to fall flat. So there's quite a lot that you can do just to make sure that you are, you know, thinking about those details, because it's very easy not to. And when, you know, say culture's so ingrained in you that it's very easy to forget that not everybody feels the same about certain things, because for you it's so natural. You know, I saw actually on Twitter yesterday something about somebody asking asking British people, should you say please before the sentence or at the end of the sentence? And loads of people will come back saying you say it both, and then you apologize for asking, and then you make sure that you let them know they don't have to do what you're asking. And it was making me laugh because, you know, that is something that comes up to me working in an international company, and really is apparent all the time, just how overly kind of polite and effusive British people are, and how but it is really hard not to do that, you know, not to say, please, would you mind awfully doing this if it's okay, when actually it's perfectly reasonable just to say, please do this. But you kind of feel like you have to, and that is something that we do in Britain, definitely as a whole, whereas other countries do not, you know, they're straight to the point, they don't get that. And but it's not something that, until working in a very international company where you see it every day, you don't think of that because it's what you do naturally. And that's the same with, you know, references you might make in terms of cultural references or kind of examples you would use. They're so obvious to you that it can sometimes be difficult to imagine that other people wouldn't get them. So that's why I think it is really important to have other perspectives and make sure somebody who understands that target group, either because they're part of it or they're much more versed in it, has that kind of view on what you're doing as well, and can and take that seriously if people make suggestions. I think don't mock it and go, oh, it's not a big deal. It is, and actually getting that right can be hugely important for, you know, elevating your business above others. Because if you've taken the time to understand the culture of the you know, the organization or the country that you're targeting, then they're going to feel so much more receptive to your message and so much more inclined to work with you as a business, because, you know, you actually have spent some time to be relevant to them and taken them into account. And I think that can't be underestimated, how important that is.
No, absolutely. That answer was solid 24 karat gold. You made me think of two things there. I think I might have mentioned this to you before when we were having a conversation, but the point about politeness, a lot of my colleagues are based in Sweden, and when we first started interacting, I was like, oh, a bit rude, just straight to the point. Azeem, send me this. I was like, alright, okay, fine. Me, I'm like, hello, how are you? How's your weekend? All this stuff. Yeah. And they're just like, in and out, want to get it done. But now I know, having spoken to them and conversed, that's just how they are culturally. And I didn't know that. And that's something that I wish I'd have known before. But more importantly, your answer reminded me of a conversation I had many years ago, and I wish that I'd spoken to you before. But to cut a very long story short, I went into a boardroom as an external, and they said, what do you notice about us and our marketing and our output? And I was just not as blunt as I'm about to say it, but I basically said, most of you are all older, you're all white, and you are trying to represent and market to thousands of people from across the globe who are not all old and white. And if I was seeing some of your messaging and your content, I don't think that I would not buy into it. I don't think I would be as receptive to it as I would if you'd considered everything that you just mentioned about including and considering the culture of the people that you're trying to talk to, which is massive. It's like very watered down version, but it's literally just like doing nothing all year long and only using, like, say, maybe white people in advertising, and then having one black person in your Black History Month campaign. I realise culture is more than just diversity, but
no, but it's a part, it's a huge part of it, you know. And
yeah,
and that's the same. Yeah, it is the same. You know, if you are using imagery on your website, you know, this is an example we use quite a lot. If you're targeting, you know, say Asian markets, you're targeting Japan, and you're selling bags, and all the people on your website carrying the bags are white Europeans, that isn't going to make, you know, that doesn't then, people in Japan are going to look at that and go, well, that's not really, you know, that's that these bags aren't for me. You know, they're not really meant for us. And like, they can't imagine themselves carrying the bag because they can only see people who don't look anything like them. And obviously it's not just about what you look like, but that is such a, you know, it is an important part. And that's initially how people react. And it doesn't matter, you might have a brilliant product or service, you might have brilliant content further down the line, but actually that initial looking at that site and seeing that there's nothing that represents you, that doesn't make sense to you, you might go before you've even had a chance to get to know it. You just give up and go and find someone else. And that's what I think some businesses don't get. They kind of, because your business is everything to you, you think everyone's going to want to read everything on your website, and they'll understand you because, oh, we are like trying to do good, really, or we do consider these people. But if you don't consider them front and center, they're not going to feel like that. You know, they feel like afterthoughts at best, or they just think they're not important at all. And, you know, it's, and another good example relating to kind of culture is to do with the event. So we have done the event. We started off doing it in London. We've done it quite a lot of times in Germany, in the US, in Spain. And the way that you need to approach it is a bit, you know, it's different in those markets. And obviously it's an international event, so we had a lot of people coming from outside of Spain this time, but still a lot from Spain. It's based in Spain. You know, the first time we did it there, we started the sessions at 9 o'clock. You know, registration was even earlier, and loads of people didn't arrive until way after the first session had started. They were coming in during it, and then we realised, yeah, things don't start early in Spain. Nobody rocks up at 9 o'clock for something. They're all taking their time. Whereas in Germany, if you don't get started at 8:30 on the dot, you know, they're kind of tipping their watch at you, wondering what you're doing. And, you know, it's those things. So now we start it later in Spain, and most people are there then because that's when they want. You know, it's just those little things that, you know, can make a difference between the experience people have and also how well something goes. And because you just don't quite understand, and you know, you're doing things the way that you do them, but that's not necessarily how others do them. So,
no, that is absolutely spot on, and I didn't realise the time differences that you'd mentioned there, which is very interesting. But I'm mindful of talking too much. We talked a lot about learning, and you've nicely led me into the next question that I was going to ask you, which is essentially that when people are learning about marketing in general, how can they ensure that they're also learning about culture at the same time?
So I think a lot of it is about, you know, this kind of understanding the audience, understanding how you can, you know, when you're doing research, and whether that's, again, into just a demographic, whether it's into a particular, you know, interest group, whether it's into a new country, is to understand that, you know, getting in beyond more than just the basics of maybe, you know, looking at keyword research even, which is still very impacted by culture because people search very differently, well, you know, in different ways and using different language. But looking into, you know, what drives people, what matters, and beyond that. So when you are, you know, just understanding where you can do research to find that, understanding the importance and talking to other people, you know, having a diverse range of information and people to talk to. So when you are learning about it, making sure you are not just talking to, yeah, like people who've been in marketing for however long doing the same way, you know, make sure you're learning from different sources, from different people, because they're all able to give you a different perspective. And then there are things, if you're really interested in culture, I can try and find, I haven't read too many of them, but there are a few books that are on my list to read about culture. But there are, you know, books that have been written about it. There are things like these Hofstadter's Cultural Dimensions, which is a very, you know, widely used framework where you can start to understand, if you're looking internationally, about how different, you know, cultures behave and things to consider when, and you know, how that impacts marketing. And I think it's really interesting because it's about people, it's about, you know, psychology, it's about, you know, the human psyche and all of that stuff, which if you're into marketing, a lot of the time that's something that is interesting. So I think it's quite interesting from a personal perspective as well, and I think it does make you more aware of wider issues and wider considerations to bear in mind when you are starting to run campaigns.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you've got any links or references that you'd like to point the audience towards, please do share them with me, and I'll make a point to include them in the show notes. We are flying through this episode, solid gold. I'm keen to keep this content train rolling because I'm really interested in learning loads here. So when trying to think of the best way to ask this now. Where would you say that people who are listening to this, how can they start with sort of understanding and assessing their own company cultures?
Yeah, so that's obviously, yeah, we've talked more about the kind of culture from a marketing point of view, but I think it's equally important, and I think it's become more important, hasn't it, that, you know, the company culture, people are much more aware about how important that is, and people are more aware of what their business does or doesn't do to provide a good culture. And I think, you know, we talked about in marketing, it's understanding your audience. In your company, it's understanding your audience. Your audience just happens to be your employees. So it's really listening, I think, from, you know, a business owner point of view or management point of view, it is about trying to understand who it is that you've got working there. Because again, the situation often happens is that the management can be much older, been around quite a long time, maybe has a certain way of doing things, and a lot of the newer staff coming in are obviously much younger, from a totally different generation, with different ideas of what they expect. And I think, you know, making sure that you aren't, again, making assumptions and just projecting what you think is important onto them, but really listening, giving them the chance to say what does and doesn't matter. And I think also not taking that personally. I think that can be a big problem sometimes, that somebody running a business can feel quite, you know, takes it as a personal attack if people start saying, well, this would be better, or this, or we're not really sure about this. So they think, well, hang on, no, that's saying I'm not good at the Don't take it like that. You know, listen, try and learn from it. You might not always be able to implement everything, but ultimately a good culture is where people feel safe. You know, I think, actually I didn't mention that when he said what is culture, but I think our culture makes us feel safe. You know, being around people who share the same beliefs and values is what makes us happy. That's why people do gravitate towards groups of people, you know, you find expat communities in other countries, because even if people like living somewhere else, even if they do get involved in the new local market they're in, there's still something very safe and secure about being around people that have got the same experiences of you, you know, same traditions, the same, remember the same, watching the same things on TV, or the same terrible school dinner you were served, or whatever it is. You know, you need that connection. And the same is within a company. You know, people need to feel safe. You need to feel like you can be yourself, that you've got a shared, this shared kind of value of what's important. So I think it is a lot about really listening to what people are saying, and then trying to act upon it as much as possible. And of course, you know, it's not just giving everybody everything they want, because that's not also possible. You've got to balance that. But I think, you know, and obviously not everybody in the business is the same. You know, people might want different things, which is why as well, you need to, you know, flexibility is a conversation that's around a lot now. And I think that businesses do need to be flexible now. And it's not just about flexible working, you know, where you work from. It's so many things, just to make sure that people can do what matters, you know, have the space they need to do what's important to them, and to be able to, whether that's, you know, time to pray during the day, whether that's time to, you know, changing working hours, whether that's certain times of the year where they need a bit more time off, or whatever it can be, you know, to match with their families and with their beliefs. It's if you can understand that and try and offer that to some extent, it's going to go a long way to making people very happy with where they work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all of the values and attributes, for want of a better word, that you just mentioned there, I'm pretty sure that listeners and viewers will be hearing those, thinking, I would love to work for or be at a company that exhibits all of those values. So it leads me on nicely to my penultimate question. So we've talked lots about what makes a good company culture, how you can include it in marketing and execution. I can't let you go without asking if you've got an example of a company that you've seen that appears to have a good culture from the outside in.
So I've thought about this, and I can't think of like one really specific one, but what I can think is, more generally, you're seeing it more, I think, or where it's more apparent, is in smaller businesses that maybe have the ability to be a bit more flexible. I think and this isn't, not obviously to say that big companies don't have a good culture, because I know there's a lot of people that rave about places like Google and say that, you know, they're fantastic, you know, culture, and that they obviously, you know, they do prioritize things like people working wherever and working on, you know, development projects and letting people explore what they're interested in. So there are obviously big companies that do it well, but I think smaller companies that I've seen recently are the ones where they can be a bit more agile and not bound by so many procedures, and trying to obviously also create a culture that fits so many people, so they are able to be maybe a bit more flexible, a bit more, yeah, a bit more open to ideas and quicker at implementing changes. I think you see a lot of like digital marketing agencies, for example, obviously that's kind of, maybe I'm you know, a bit siloed in that area. They see that a lot. But, you know, a lot of marketing agencies are much better now at being, you know, work from different places, about kind of helping people grow and develop and do their own personal learning and those kind of things, which I think are really great. So yeah, I think, and obviously, you know, a good culture is quite hard to define, because my idea of a good culture might be different from yours. Obviously, there's some fundamentals, which I think is, you know, respect and flexibility and understanding people. But, you know, in terms of the actual, yeah, the main values or the way that the organization operates, some, you know, for somebody, some place is absolutely fantastic, and it wouldn't work for someone else, because again, we're all quite different. So I think, you know, but I do think when you're looking for a new job, and I think people do this so much more now, that is a really important thing to kind of get across when you're having your interviews and when you're learning about the company. What is the culture? You know, what are the values? How do they treat people? How do they work all together? You know, how do they build relationships? Which, again, as we're all working more remotely, which is beneficial in many ways, but it can also be difficult. That's something else companies need to think about. How can we translate maybe the culture we have when everyone's in the office and we can all go for a drink together after work, or we can all have lunch together, or we all have these group meetings every, which we can't do in the same way. How do you replicate that, or build something different that still serves the same purpose in a different way? So you have to be kind of, it's not something that stays the same, and it's not something that one person is in charge of. It's something that everybody has to have a part in, because if you're told this is the culture, that doesn't really work. If you're, how can we build this culture? What do you want to add to it? I think that is where the value really
Yeah,
comes.
absolutely. And you might have seen a wry smile on my face when you were talking about people looking for jobs, because there was some noise on social media recently that companies basically put our culture and then bullet point, pool table, bullet point, beer trolley, which it doesn't appeal to everybody. So yeah, less of that. But yeah, look, this we are sadly at the end of the episode, and this has been absolutely brilliant. I've really, really enjoyed this. I cannot let you go without sharing your details. So, if people are listening to or watching this and wanted to find out more information about you or connect with you, how can they do that?
Best place definitely is LinkedIn. That's where I probably am most when it comes to social, so very happy to connect with anybody there. I'm also on Twitter, at Jem Houghton. So LinkedIn is just Jem Houghton, Twitter at Jem Houghton. I'm not as active on there, and obviously who knows what's happening with Twitter. So I haven't made the step over to any other new platforms yet, because I can't quite bear the thought of having to do a new one. But yeah, LinkedIn is great. Obviously, would love people to check out the International Search Summit as well. Look at our website, look at some of the videos and content from, yeah, the last event, and WebCertain as well, WebCertain.com, if you want to know more about the agency.
Perfect. Gemma, I guess all that's left to say is thank you very much for being an
No,
absolutely
thank you.
brilliant guest. Really enjoyed this. And to the listeners, viewers, as always, please like, rate, share, and subscribe. And I will see you for the next episode.